You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
August the 18th, 2021. We continue to watch things come unglued in Afghanistan. We are told there are numerous, and no one can come up with a real number of how many Americans are still trapped in Afghanistan that we cannot get out. The latest department reports from the Pentagon saying 6, maybe up to 10,000 Americans inside Kabul. They cannot get to the airport. The Taliban is encircling it, not allowing anyone by and through. But the Taliban apparently also saying that we will work with Americans and get them safely in. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan saying we expect the Taliban will, quote, have to be watched and observed over time, whether it's prepared to meet their obligations to basic human rights and human dignity of people, to the safe passage of people to the airport. The Taliban have informed us they are prepared to provide safe passage of civilians to the airport. I don't know. I got to ask you, if you're there, if you're in the midst of that, and they come to your door and say, we're here to take you to the airport, you didn't call that Uber, did you? Are you going to go with them? In the meantime, President Biden finally back in the White House from his vacay. Yeah, we had to interrupt it with that little Afghan thing, so he had to come back and make a speech the other day. But then he went back to vacay, and now he's back again. Does it mean anything? U.S. officials are privately warning, if Biden really wants to have all troops out by August 31, all of them, and he's continuing to send more in to protect the airport and evacuate thousands of American citizens and Afghan allies, as one official told Fox News, we're still ramping up. Well, they're privately warning, and their words are, it will be challenging to meet the August 31 deadline to get everyone out. Oh, the Pentagon, though, of course, going to do what it can to shore up the Biden concern and said, we can quickly open up airfields and we'll be ready to do it. Well, I praise our Air Force for what they can do. I know they can do things. But we have Americans in danger and threat right now. We don't know what they're facing. And it's not just complaints from the Republican side of the aisle. Congressional Democrats blaming Biden for failing to secure a safe and orderly departure from Afghanistan. Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat, New Jersey, chair of the Foreign Relations Committee. I am disappointed that the Biden administration clearly did not accurately assess the implications of a rapid U.S. withdrawal. Senator Tom Carper said that drawdown, he's a Democrat from Delaware, the drawdown, quote, should have been carefully planned to prevent violence and instability. And, of course, the question is, too, what about the Afghan women and girls? What all are they going to face or not have after all this goes down? And on the Republican side, Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, who served in Afghanistan, lost his right eye in an explosion, said Biden's handling of Afghanistan is, quote, utterly incompetent. I second that. Back to the other side of the aisle, Democrat from California, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, trying to spin the fact that the Taliban now has a lot of our military equipment. She said, well, that's what happens when you withdraw. Some stuff is left there. It was thought it would be used. It was hoped it'd be used by the Afghan military to defend its own country. The fact that it did not and could not was more reason for us to leave. One writer tweeted out her remarks beyond parody, doing her best to sell Biden's catastrophic botch. And VP Harris disappearing from public view for 5 days as Biden and the administration tackled this. She was supposed to be beside Biden when he made a statement the other day for the White House once he came back. She wasn't there. No clear reason as to why she didn't want to be near him. I think we can guess. And, of course, she went on CNNN because they're such a nice, friendly group of people to interview and talk with. And she said, I was the last one in the room. I kind of helped make the decision. The president did. She probably now is thinking, I shouldn't have said that. I should have said I left the room before they ever got around to making the decision. We are facing additional terrorist activities down the road, and you can trace it back to what we've seen over the last few days. Stand by for the rest.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You're dealing with thousands and thousands of Americans and others that are stranded and very dangerously, really stranded in Afghanistan. So it's something that you can't even believe that a thing like this could. I looked at that big monster cargo plane yesterday with people grabbing the side and trying to get flown out of Afghanistan because of their fear, their incredible fear, and they're blowing off the plane from 2,000 feet up in the air. It's nobody's ever seen anything like that. That blows the helicopters in Vietnam away. That's not even a contest. This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen.
And I would agree with him. Those are the words of former President Trump appearing on Sean Hannity last night, talking about the debacle, the disaster that we're seeing in Afghanistan. And American lives are at stake. It's not just a bad mistake. It could be a deadly mistake for who knows how many Americans. We don't know for sure how many are still there. Now, you could say, well, why didn't they get out long before? Well, there were two things in play here. One, Biden, if you're going to believe his statement, is that, well, we were told by the Afghan government, don't really try to organize a flyout and evacuation before, you know, anything really happens, because then you'll frighten people. That will spark what we're seeing now. And the other is that, well, we just didn't think it happened like it did. In other words, they said they had contingency plans, but they didn't plan. They might have had plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, but somewhere along the line, they got out of the alphabet and totally lost. Pentagon estimating 6 to 8, maybe 10,000 Americans inside Kabul, can't get to the airport. And how many are outside the Kabul region, hunkering down in place? And the White House says the Taliban tells us they will give them free, a safe passage to the airport. Trump had said in the interview last night, he was talking about, you know, the way Biden handled this thing is contrary to what we would have done. He said he did it. He didn't use these words, but I will. He did it back arsewards. That's about the cleanest I can say it for you. Here's Trump describing Biden's action and what should have happened.
And we take the military out before we took our civilians out and before we took the interpreters and other we want to try and help. But by the way, I'm America first, okay? The Americans come out first. But we're also going to help people that helped us. And we have to be very careful with the vetting because you have some rough people in there. But we're going to help those people. But can you imagine? Now, what we were going to do just very quickly is we were going to take the military out last, okay, last.
That's just common sense. And yes, Trump had a plan when he was in office. He said, I want to start drawing down on our forces. There were 20,000 plus in theater. He drew it down to 2,500 and said the plan is we will be out of there by May 1 if the Taliban continues to hold to the conditional agreement that they said they would. Well, of course, come January, he's out of office. He's not president. So the Taliban doesn't care about any agreement they made with Trump. And in fact, I'm sure they were laughing and slapping each other on the back, say, oh, Biden's in. This is going to be easy. And Biden said, well, I was stuck. I couldn't do anything. I would have had to draw troops out of there. I mean, draw everybody out but in my first three months in office. Because he said that was the time that Trump said. But Trump said it on a condition, the condition being that the Taliban cease a lot of their operations and certainly don't attack any of our forces. We haven't lost a U.S. soldier in Afghanistan in maybe 18 months. The fighting's been going on. But we're our 2,500 around Kabul, mostly intel and staying in that area. They're not a combat unit, but they've been staying in that region, and we have not lost anyone as we began to draw down. Until they saw the way Biden was going to do it and rush it haphazardly. You heard Trump say that we want to get a lot of these Afghans out that helped us. He said, Americans first. But we got a lot of those Afghans who helped us. We want to get them out. Pentagon estimates 22,000. 22,000. And he also made a point, we're going to have to be careful who we bring into this country. We're going to bring them all out. He said, are we going to properly vet them? And that's a big question. It's a big question, of course, what's coming across the border. We don't know how many Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Muslim jihadists have been mixing in with the caravans coming across because progressives think, oh, it's okay to have an open border. We don't need that security. We won't let them get on a plane and fly into the U.S., but if they can get into Mexico and come across our border, that's still open. And when Trump has concerns about some of those that might be brought in here, we don't vet them properly. One of the guys we had in Gitmo, I'm not going to try to pronounce his name. I'd butcher it, and I would not be doing it on purpose. It's just that I don't speak it very well, so Karakawa, I'll just go with that. I don't know if that's right or not. He had previously served as the Taliban's interior minister in Afghanistan. He was arrested after the terrorist attacks, 9/11, held at Guantanamo Bay, Gitmo, from 2002 to 2014. Pentagon said he was a close associate of Osama bin Laden, too dangerous to be released. Well, we did release him in 2014 under the Obama administration. He was one of four other Taliban leaders released that year in exchange for Boy Bergdahl, the soldier who said he was captured, when later it was proven he was a deserter. But we let those five go, and they said, we're not going to be doing anything. We'll just go back to helping our families grow potatoes or something. Even at the time, Arizona Senator John McCain said that's a bad move. These five are, quote, the hardest of the hardcore. These are the highest high-risk people. Now, how many of those you think that are going to be in that mix of Afghans we're going to be bringing in? Because the one we released that said I'm going to go back to growing potatoes with a family or something, intel now says he reportedly helped orchestrate the last few days' takeover of Afghanistan. Those are some potatoes, huh? And Trump said when it came to dealing with the Taliban, yes, I had set a date, but it was a conditional. He says we had a deal.
This has been the most humiliating period of time I've ever seen. Yeah, we had a great deal. We worked on it very hard. Mike Pompeo, a brilliant guy, and many others worked on it endlessly. Meetings with the Taliban. Of course, you have to meet with the Taliban. They're the ones that you're negotiating with. I spoke on numerous occasions to the head of the Taliban, and we had a very strong conversation. I told him up front, I said, look, before we start, let me just tell you right now that if anything bad happens to Americans or anybody else, or if you ever come over to our land, we will hit you with a force that no country has ever been hit with before. A force so great that you won't even believe it.
You won't even believe it. And he also said, I told one of the Taliban leaders, when we do that, we will start, because we know where you live, we will start with your village. The Taliban sat on their hands. They didn't do anything to cause any violation of that agreement with Trump in office. There was one event that took place because Trump had invited some of the Taliban leaders to come to D.C. to the White House, and we'll have a meeting there. But then somebody along the line decided, I know how to make Trump pay more attention to us. Listen to this.
I had a very, very strong talk with the Taliban, which I considered to be much more important in this sense because they were the problem. And they've been there for a long time, and they're good fighters, and they fight hard. And after I said that, we had a pretty good conversation. Now, I have to tell you that if you remember when they were coming to Washington to meet with me, they decided to kill an American soldier because they thought that was a good way to negotiate. And I canceled the trip. And we had a conditions-based agreement.
Conditions-based agreement. So when you hear Biden, as he did in his news conference the other day, when he finally came out of the groundhog shadow of Camp David and stood in the White House, said, I'm president. The buck stops here. But Trump, yada, yada, yada. When he goes down that train and that railway again, railroad, where then you say stop it. Trump had an agreement. Yes, we're going to be we'll be out there by May 1 if you continue to meet the negotiated points. But as I say, since Trump was not in office after January, well, that piece of paper was worthless in the eyes of the Taliban. We'll do what the hell we want. And they did. And they are still doing that. You also have to keep in mind that trusting these guys is very difficult to begin with. So if they do anything to violate it, you've got to put it down then. It can't be, you want to make good on that one? All right, we'll let you have that over. Can't do that with these guys. And Trump said, look, if what we have seen happen, and again, he was appearing on Sean Hannity on this last night, he said, if they had tried to do something that we've been watching, and keep in mind, before they got to Kabul, we knew, reports were already evident that they had 30 to 40, maybe 60% of the country under the control before they ever got to Kabul. And the question to Trump is, what would you have done if they had just 5% of the country under control and showing that they were going to go to war?
We would have hit them very hard. Again, the words are conditions, plural, conditions based. It was an agreement where actually we wanted to get out by May 1st and they violated the agreement. So we didn't. It's a great agreement from a lot of different standpoints. And frankly, Biden didn't have to even go by that agreement.
Didn't have to. That's right. He could have thrown it out just like he did everything else that Trump did. The Paris Accord that Trump said we're not going to be part of. Biden said, yeah, we are. Keystone XL pipeline. Biden said, nope, we're not going to do that. The stay in Mexico policy. Biden said, nope, we're not going to do that Trump plan either. But for this one, he said, my hands were tied. Trump made a remark at one point. He said, I'm thinking because of me, he said, Afghanistan was safer for Americans than Chicago or New York. Well, no American soldiers were killed in the last year and a half because he said, we will hit you back hard. He said, so it was safer for Americans to be in Afghanistan than in Chicago or New York. And just Monday, another shooting in Mayor Lori Lightfoot, Chicago, a 26-year-old mother shot multiple times in a drive-by shooting, among six killed just on Monday. The mother, what was she doing? She was just outside at her home with her 6-year-old son who witnessed it. 6-year-old son asking doctors, please get her to wake up. Get her to wake up. She's not going to. Yeah, if she'd been in Afghanistan, she would still be alive if she were among our troops. And what about the women in Afghanistan? For the last 20 years, some of those grew up without the Taliban enforcing all the laws and rules. Now what happens to them? Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't think in all of the years our country has ever been so humiliated. I don't know, would you call it a military defeat or a psychological defeat? There's never been anything like what's happened here. You can go back to Jimmy Carter with the hostages. We all thought that was a great embarrassment, and we were pulled out of that by Ronald Reagan. This is many, many times worse.
Many, many times worse. That's former President Trump on Sean Hannity last night talking about the debacle of Afghanistan, how Biden just absolutely fouled up and planned to evacuate and take out troops in an orderly fashion. And the U.S. Embassy in Kabul just today, sent this message out. The U.S. government cannot ensure safe passage to the Hamid Karzai International Airport. That's the one in Kabul. And they told citizens that space on evacuation flights will now be available, quote, on a first-come, first-served basis. That is if you can get through the line and the circle the Taliban has put up around the airport. And, of course, the Taliban has said, oh, we'll be willing to help take them to the airport. We'll give them safe passage. That's what we're told. They also had said that women will be able to have what they've kind of been used to, as long as it falls within Islamic law. Previously, under the repressive past, the women in Afghanistan had to keep themselves fully covered at all times. No education, not allowed to read and learn. So you have a lot of 20-year-old women in Afghanistan, 16, 14, 12, that have grown up in this calm that we're allowed to read and expand our horizons. And the Taliban said, oh, we'll go ahead and protect them. We'll go ahead and allow that as long as it's still in line with Islamic law. So that's going to be their interpretation. And at the same time, New York Post reporting on the same day as of yesterday, when they vowed they would honor women's rights, they killed a woman for not wearing a burqa. They killed her because she was not covering her face. They killed her. There's another report even from CNN saying the Taliban knocked on this woman's door three times because they had heard she was with her sons and daughter and that she was just not going to do what they told her, so they went to go get her. Knocking on the door three times, the next time, they killed her. Republican Alabama Senator Tuberville slamming members of left-wing squad. Said they've been really closed-mouthed, haven't they? Haven't heard one word from all these women in the squad in Congress about protecting the women of Afghanistan. Because it doesn't fit their narrative. Well, AOC the other day did say, well, we have a moral obligation to welcome the Afghan people to our country, so we hope they bring them here. We will help them. But I don't think she's concerned about helping them. She's concerned about how can I turn them into a vote. And the stuff AOC and the squad pull in this country, which you're allowed to do, that lose their head, literally, in that part of the world. President Trump last night, appearing on Sean Hannity, said the leader of Afghanistan, Ghani, he said, never really believed the guy would do what he said he would do.
Now, I never had a lot of confidence, frankly, in Ghani. I said that openly and plainly. I thought he was a total crook. I thought he got away with murder. He spent all his time whining and dining our senators. I mean, the senators were in his pocket. That was one of the problems that we had. But I never liked him. And I guess based on his escape with cash, I don't know, maybe that's a true story. I would suspect it is. All you have to do is look at his lifestyle, study his houses where he lives. He got away with murder in many, many different ways.
And he also apparently left the country with a lot of money. In fact, a Afghan ambassador is now asking Interpol to find him and arrest him and detain him because they fled with the country's wealth, something like $169 million in cash. Now, he took care of himself, didn't he? Right now, it's 6 minutes and 30 seconds after midnight in Kabul. 73 degrees. And we have Americans still huddling in fear. If they're found, they could be executed by Taliban. Next segment, we're going to turn the corner and deal with COVID and teachers fearful and indoctrinating students.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for three generations, protecting homes and businesses. Three generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER. Or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com. It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned, Ackerman Toyota, for life.
Not a yes, sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, 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 thunder.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I have had my regular back to school anxieties. Things like, am I going to have enough time? Am I going to get my lessons done? Are the students going to be okay? But this year, there is this overshadowing apprehension that's clouding my normal back to school thoughts. And it's with thoughts like, if I die, who's going to take care of my children? And if I end up in the hospital, how am I going to pay those bills? And if I give COVID to my students or my own children and they die, how am I going to live with that? And I want you to ask any teacher how they feel this year. And I'm sure that they will tell you that they have never experienced anxiety like this, because it is like we are trying to protect our students from a mass shooting that we know is coming but cannot do anything about.
There at the end, she had me. She had me in the beginning. That's a Texas teacher identified as Colleen. Every parent has to worry about who will take care of my kids if I die, and if I get sick, who's going to take care of them if they get sick. And yes, COVID has put a fear into a lot of people, and rightly so, in the sense that it is deadly for many, not for all. Those who have existing conditions, more likely to die of it. And I don't take any of that lightly. I'm not going to dismiss and mock the woman as she's in tears. But I've lost a very close relative, younger than me, in great health to COVID. So I understand that. And I feel for my relative's wife and how she's trying to go through it, and their kids. So we shouldn't be mocking anyone that truly is concerned about the welfare of their families moving forward. But the concern came, as at the end, she says, like we're trying to stop a mass shooting, and there's nothing we can do, but we can. In other words, if we just mandate masks, if we'd mandate vaccinations, everything would be good. She went on social media with that message. I'm going to let you hear some more of it in a moment. And she identifies herself as saying, I do tweet about politics. I am a blue dot in a red state. So that gives you her politics right away. But I don't care your political stripes. If you care about your family and your loved ones and their lives and your lives, obviously that's paramount. That's above any politics. And if you think, I don't care, my family, most of my family says, they're not going to wear a mask. Well, I'm going to wear a mask. Most of my family says I'm not going to get vaccinated. I'm going to get vaccinated. You do what's best for you and your family. And quit judging and passing and calling out on the others. But, of course, they're trying to say, well, if you didn't get vaccinated, if you don't get the mask, then you're going to expose me. But we already know if you're vaccinated and masked, you can still expose people. And Texas Governor Greg Abbott, since she's in Texas, that teacher you were hearing, despite being fully vaccinated, announced yesterday he has COVID-19. And, of course, the left just can't help but celebrating, and, you know, they kind of hold back their excitement. But, yes, I'm reading a CNN column about you heard and read that right. Abbott tested positive for COVID. Even while his administration continues to keep local jurisdictions from requiring folks to wear masks, specifically school districts. Now, that teacher went on social media, and she knew she was going to be on social media because she planned it that way. There was another teacher in Salt Lake City, Utah, at a high school. She's a high school chemistry teacher in Lehi, Utah. Her name is Leah Kenyon. She's addressing her class as they come back together, and she's standing up there, by the way, without a mask. And she starts immediately trying to dictate and indoctrinate the kids about what you really need to know about this COVID. And she apparently might have known she was being recorded, but just didn't give a damn. Anyway, here are her statements.
This is my classroom, and if you guys are going to put me at risk, you're going to hear about it. Because I have to be here. I don't have to be happy about the fact that there's kids coming in here with their variants that could possibly get me or my family sick. That's rude. And I'm not going to pretend like it's not. So don't ask
you
me to.
You have all the right.
That's damn right. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to lie. If you ask me a legit question, I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to sugarcoat it either. Because y'all need to hear the truth.
The truth. She's a chemistry teacher. Doesn't seem to be teaching any chemistry at that point. But it's rude if you come in here and you have the Delta variant or something. Give it to me. Did she then ask how many in here are illegals that came into the country recently? Did she do that in Utah? Did she ask that? It's rude for illegals to come into our country. It's rude for illegals to be spread across our country by our very government without, one, testing them, two, if they test them, let them go anyway, without giving them a vaccination until finally decide maybe we will, and rude to not let the people know they're in your area now. A bunch of adults, parents, apparently running the country right now, right? Well, the reason I bring that up is because this teacher apparently was listening to some of the students saying, well, you know, my parents say you don't have to wear a mask and it's not going to be full protection and we're not. And she immediately jumped on that.
Most of y'all parents are dumber than you. I'm going to say that out loud. My parents are freaking dumb. Okay? And the minute I figured that out, the world opens up. You don't have to do everything your parents say, and you don't have to believe everything your parents believe, because most likely you're smarter than them.
Well, that was really good. That was really helping parents at home, wasn't it? Your parents are dumb. If I had a teacher do that, I'd be in that teacher's face and the school district immediately. And some were, which I'll come to in a moment. But let me go back to the teacher that was in Texas and was recording her remarks about how difficult things have been and her concern. She said her district has already told them what would happen if they do get sick.
In my district, we found out that we have to use personal and sick days if we have to quarantine and that those aren't paid. The constant dialogue is how those bills are going to get paid. And we're wondering what legal rights we have because we don't have mask mandates in place across the board. And across the board, we're worried. And we're tired of fighting parents who feel like mask mandates violate rights. We want parents to know that we are on the same team.
Well, I would agree with that. I mean, again, that's a Texas teacher, Colleen. We're on the same team. But, of course, if you listen to the Utah teacher, no, teachers and parents are on the wrong, different teams because the parents are dumb. You kids in my class, you know more than your parents. And again, this teacher in Texas, Colleen, I'm going to accept that she is genuinely concerned about her health and the health of her children and what happens going forward. I'm not going to dispute that. But, of course, the best thing that they can see to do to show you how desperate the times are and how dangerous this is to equate it to something that long before COVID, the left has been pushing, gun control. And here's how she ties it all together.
And I want you to ask any teacher how they feel this year, and I'm sure that they will tell you that they have never experienced anxiety like this, because it is like we are trying to protect our students from a mass shooting that we know is coming but cannot do anything about, except we can do something about it. It's just that not everyone agrees that wearing a mask will stop the onslaught of students and staff who are likely to become sick, and that makes me sick. And in the meetings that I have been to since we've been back, I hear teachers planning like regular, but I also hear them having conversations about finding affordable attorneys so that they can make a will.
To make a will, because this COVID is like a mass shooting. See, at that point, she loses any credibility she had built on her emotion as a mother. Teachers giving their personal view, but then teachers indoctrinating the students. I got another example coming up with the Utah teacher, the Kenyon. Her name is Kenyon in Utah area, saying that your parents are dumb. Give you another example of her indoctrination to her students. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you're a homophobe, get out.
Thank you.
Because I am the GSA faculty advisor. I love gay people. All LGBTQIA plus mother. If you don't like it, get out. If I hear you say a damn word against any of them, I will open a can. And I will make your life a living hell. And they know it. If you say shiz to any LGBTQ kid in the school, I will hear about it.
Yeah, there you go. That's a teacher in Lehi, Utah, a high school chemistry teacher practicing science, political science, indoctrinating her students. I thought the idea of LGBTQ, if you go to the real base of that and feminism, and even race relations, everybody equal. Everybody's included. Well, in that teacher's statement, if you don't believe in LGBTQ, get out of my class. Just get out. They didn't go there to your class to learn about LGBTQ or discuss it. They went there supposedly for an education. You remember how to spell that word, teacher? In chemistry. Can you spell that word? Again, this is a teacher, Leah Kenyon, in Utah, Lehi High School. And she might have known she was being recorded, but she didn't care. In fact, here's a perfect example. She also used this opening class with her students to tell them how much she hates Trump and how they are being brainwashed if they're watching anything but the mainstream or state-controlled media.
I hate Donald Trump. I'm going to say it. I don't care what y'all think. Trump sucks. He is a sexual predator. He's a literal moron. Go tattle on me to the freaking admin. They don't give a crap. No, he is not.
What are you talking about?
Turn off the Fox News.
Turn off the Fox TV, and Biden is not a predator, and don't tattle to me on the freaking administration. They don't give a crap. Well, apparently somebody did, and now she is on administrative leave. That means she still gets money, you understand. So there you have it, modern-day teaching in the midst of back-to-school in-person learning with COVID. And, of course, President Biden is going to make the most of this opportunity as well, too. In about 90 minutes, he's going to sit down in the White House, in the Oval Office, actually, to meet with various experts dealing with COVID and the fact that they want to push vaccine boosters 8 months after you've got your first vaccination. Now meeting with his coronavirus team, apparently, and then he's going to give a live interview to ABC News host George Stephanopoulos sometime later today, and I'm sure that's going to be a really insightful interview. But Biden now back at the White House trying to spin everything away from Afghanistan and that debacle. So let's talk COVID. Well, I kind of helped him in this segment, didn't I? I kind of said let's focus on this for just a moment. He can, should be able to, I should say, handle more than one thing on his plate at a time. If you're going to be president, he should be. And back to the situation as it stands right now, what we're hearing from Afghanistan. some of the latest reports coming out in this, since we began today's program, saying the Taliban has opened fire on hundreds and beat various protesters, including journalists. And some of this is based on something that happened the other day, but this apparently is Jalalabad, Afghanistan, as hundreds of civilians went to the streets to protest replacing the national flag with the Taliban flag, and Taliban jihadists opened fire on them. Jalalabad was apparently the last city in Afghanistan the Taliban seized before they moved on to Kabul. But we're told that they'll be glad to help Americans get safely to the airport. And that women will not be under such a restrictive ban and religious rule as they used to be, as long as they do not violate Muslim law. There are a lot of Muslim women who don't wear burqas nor wear a veil of any type. But that would not be a good idea to do now in Afghanistan with the Taliban back in control. So later today, President Biden will do his thing about COVID and hope everybody see what a great job I'm doing on COVID. And all those people out there who won't wear a mask or won't get a vaccination and now want to fight against a booster shot, they're our enemy. They and all the white terrorists, they're the greatest enemy of our country, the world. Ignoring what is going on in Afghanistan and what is going to come out of that hellhole when all of the terrorists come together. Thank you, as always, for listening. Please remember our pledge now more than ever, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.